I saw that after these things, the interpreter had her into a room where was an old bent man with a muck rake in his hand.
Straw and muck, muck and straw. Oh, how dreary.
Over his head was an angel with a celestial crown in his hand. Now the angel did follow him about as if offering to place the crown upon his head and thus make him a prince in the kingdom of the realm. But the man paid him no heed.
Oh, weary, dreary, my life is so uncheery. Sticks and straws, dust and muck.
Friend, look up.
Ah, there be a flea. I must needs kill it, lest it multiply and suck the world dry of all its blood. Ah, missed him, wretched little beast. He will likely spread the plague.
Friend, look up.
And what is this? A molehill. Oh, no. Oh, the gardens, the gardens. What shall become of the flowers? 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 Where are the flowers?
Friend, there are flowers on the hillside all around thee. Only look up from the works of darkness.
Oh, there are no flowers in this place. Only fleas and molehills, sticks and straws, dust and this eternal muck, which I must eternal rake with this infernal muck rake. Oh, weary, weary, my life is so weary.
Dost thou understand what thou seest, Christiana?
This man seems like many a man of my home city. He, like they, longs for something better, but can only look down at the things of this earth.
Aye. And what more?
Well, it seems that the angel is quite eager to give him a celestial crown, but the man cannot hear him.
Nay, will not hear him. He has ignored his call so many times that though his ears are good, he hears not.
Then he does not believe that the voice is for him.
Aye, when once the things of earth do capture our eyes, we count crowns and kingdoms as the dreams and the fables of deluded weaklings.
Indeed. But do tell, why are the man's clothes so filthy? He has mud caked upon his hands and knees. Sticks and straws seem to hang everywhere upon him. Why, it doth seem that he should turn the rake upon himself to get clean.
'Tis a law of life that by beholding we become changed. This man, in beholding the straws and sticks, has become quite like them. Oft times, he lays down to search out a flea or a louse, and from a distance, one can scarce tell that he is there.
Oh, let me never become such a one as this. May the Lord deliver me and mine from this muckrake.
That prayer is so seldom prayed that it is nigh to be forgotten. The wise man prayed, "Give me not riches," but it is scarce the prayer of one in 10,000.
Aye, 'tis true. Wood, hay, and stubble seem to be the life goal of nearly everyone I know, to the neglect of heavenly things. But tell me, can this man never hope to look up and see that which is but inches from his head?
Christiana, canst thou not see that he is all bent and stooped from looking ever at the earth?
Yes, but there must be some way to direct his gaze upwards.
Look! What do you see over yonder?
Oh, why, 'tis a pool of water, and it lies still as a mirror.
Were the muck raker to go thither, he could see the celestial glories that lie so close overhead. But he avoids the place like the plague.
Why?
Because there the ground is clean.
Nothing to complain about?
Aye.
Ah.
Furthermore, the reflecting pool doth show him back himself, a sight from which he doth shrink as from an apparition or a ghost. So, to answer thy question further, God hath made it easy, even in his bent condition, to see the kingdom. But he cannot bear the sight. Therefore, he continues searching in the dust.
Ah, weary, dreary. My life is so uncheery. Sticks and straws, straws and sticks. Dust and muck, muck and dust.
Then this man's case is as hopeless as that of the man in the cage, or the dreamer.
Aye, and that by their own choice. Come.
So he had them into the very best room in the house, and bade them look about to see if they could find anything profitable. Then they looked round and round, but there was nothing unusual to be seen anywhere. Only there was a very great spider on the wall, but this they overlooked.
Well?
Sir, I see nothing.
Boys?
Nothing, sir.
Look again.
Sir, there is nothing here, except an ugly spider who hangs by her hands upon the wall.
Is there but one spider in all this spacious room?
Then the water stood in Christiana's eyes, for she was a woman of quick understanding.
No, my lord, not just one.
I don't see any other spiders, Mama.
There be seven, child.
Where?
I, for one, be a spider. And with my venom and sting, I did injure he whom I should have loved most and best. Oh, wicked woman that I am.
This made Mercy blush, and the boys to lower their heads, for they all began now to understand the riddle.
Then thou hast seen thyself here?
Aye.
But dost thou not see reason to take heart?
The spider is in the very best room of the house.
And so may you be. By faith you can lay hold of and dwell in heavenly places.
But our sinful hearts.
Look out yonder window. What see thee?
Why, 'tis the skull-shaped hill.
That is the place where thou must look. Not at thy sinful hearts. Remember the muckraker.
By beholding, we become changed.
Aye. If thou wouldst become like him, then him thou must behold. Come.
He had them then into the yard, where there was a hen and her wee ones following after her.
Watch these chickens and see what thou dost learn. What seest thou?
I see, sir, that every time one of them goes to the fountain for a drink, she doth take the water in her bill and lift her head towards heaven.
And the lesson?
When we partake of heaven's bounties, we should also look towards heaven, whence they be come.
Well said. Look yet more. Well?
The mother hen seems to have many types of calls.
Yeah?
First, there is the common call that she uses to reassure her chicks all the day long.
And what means it?
I suppose it must be like the Spirit of God, which is ever with us, to let us know that we are never alone.
Yeah, and what else?
Well, there is her feeding call, by which she beckons them to some new morsel which she would share with them.
And the lesson?
Well, that God doth call us to feed upon the dainty morsels of his word.
Well said, Matthew. And you, Joseph, what hearest thou?
The brooding call, by which she calleth her chickens to come under her wing.
And the lesson?
God also hath a brooding call, by which he invites us to rest under his wing.
I see a lesson.
Yes, James?
When there is danger, God hath a special outcry to warn us to flee and hide under his wings.
Well said, James. And how doth God give his outcry?
I don't know.
Is it not by the promptings of his Spirit upon our hearts?
Yes.
And also by the words of Scripture, which do come to mind when we are in danger of making a wrong choice.
Aye.
Might it not also be by the chastening of his prophets, which from time to time do walk among us?
Aye. Well said, all of you. I can see that your mother hath improved your travel time with much wholesome instruction. Come.
With that, he had them into the slaughterhouse, where the butcher was killing a sheep. And behold, the sheep was quiet, and took her death with patience.
Oh, poor lamb.
There are deep lessons here, for my heart feels as if it were to break.
This is the Lamb of God, which opened not his mouth whilst his enemies slew him by tortures most terrible.
Oh, to see him portrayed in this Lamb thus, how it makes me to love him the more.
Aye, but this Lamb doth also portray thyself. See how quietly she takes her death, and how, without objecting, she suffereth her skin to be pulled over her ears. Your king doth call you his sheep.
Then as this lamb is patient under sufferings and wrongs, so must I endure without murmur or complaint.
Aye, thy master hath been made perfect by suffering before thee, and thou canst be sure the servant is not greater than his lord.
Then by his grace I shall be like Job, who said, "Yea, though he slay me, yet will I trust him."
Thou hast well said, Christiana. Come out to the garden.
Mama, look at all the flowers. May I pick one, sir?
Well, will you put it to a good use?
Aye.
Then pick.
And may I, sir?
You may.
Here, Mama, this be for thee.
Why, James, what a dear you are. Whatever made you think of doing that?
Because you told me how happy you were when Papa gave you flowers. So, me thought that I will give them for him till we become thither.
Bless you, sweet boy. Bless you.
Mercy?
Yes, Matthew?
This rose be for thee.
For me? Why?
Oh, no reason, I guess. I just thought it might help make your journey a bit more pleasant.
Why, thank you, Matthew. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, miss.
'Tis a lovely patch of flowers you have, sir.
Aye, wanderers from Eden, we call them.
There are so many different kinds. Posies and pansies, carnations, roses, pinks, morning glories.
So many kinds, and all so different.
Mama, this flower is as large as my head.
Over here is a flower so small that one almost needs a glass to see it. Yet, it seems just as merry as those that be larger.
Mother, smell this one.
Ah, sweet indeed. Methinks heaven itself could smell no sweeter.
Truly, God must have had a merry time inventing so many different ones.
How good it was for you, good sir, to sow this garden, to refresh the senses of weary pilgrims.
'Twas not only for this that we care for these little friends of God.
What? Why else?
That by beholding thou mightest become changed.
Huh? Into a flower?
Nay, but into the image of Christ.
Go on, sir.
Notice how that these plants are all different in stature, in quality, in color, and smell. Some are more suited for giving, while others are best for covering the ground. But none give complaint. And where the gardener sets them, there they stay. And not one word of quarrel has ever been heard among them.
No doubt a lesson for us all.
Aye, we can all be as different as can be, and yet be perfectly united.
Unity in diversity?
Aye. Come over here. What have we?
A field of wheat,
but with all the grain cut off.
What is this stubble good for?
Nothing but for to be burned.
Or else to make a brick with.
But if there was fruit upon it?
Then there would be a harvest.
And a party!
Aye, the fruit is the thing looked for. Without fruit, this is good for nothing but the fire, or to be trodden down under the feet of men.
Therefore must we bear fruit, or we will meet the same fate with Satan and his angels.
Brightly said.
Mama, look at that pretty bird.
Yes, but what does he have in his mouth?
Why, 'tis a spider, a big, ugly one.
What a sad thing to see.
And how do you mean?
I always thought Robin Redbreast lived upon crumbs of bread or seeds. But ugly spiders?
I think I like him less than I did before. What means this?
This Robin is like many a fair professor of religion. Pretty to look at. Singing righteous songs and associating much with other Christians. But when they are alone, they can be like this fair bird, able to change their diet, gobbling up spiders, drinking iniquity, and swallowing down sin like water.
Mama, look!
Samuel, what doest thou up in that tree?
Climbing up to see the bird's nest.
Is there anything in it?
Baby birds. And the mama bird just fed them a spider, too.
There seems to be a lesson in that as well, is there not, dear interpreter?
Aye. But best that we invite Samuel hurry down from the tree.
Samuel, come down, please.
Quickly.
Quickly.
All right. Here I be, but why did I need hurry so?
Ask our host.
Look at the trunk of this tree, Samuel. What seest thou?
Why, nothing but a good solid trunk, slightly leaning for ease of climbing.
Come around to the other side. Now, looking at the underside, what seest thou?
Why, there's a great gaping hole in the trunk.
Big enough for me to hide in. Watch. Here I am, Mama.
James, come out of there. This tree may fall any time.
Do I have to?
Yes, come.
All right.
Then I now see why thou didst have me to hurry down.
Aye. At any moment this tree may fall. And who knoweth what mischief it would cause to those who be near it?
Sir, I know that in these rooms and gardens there is nothing but that which giveth out a lesson. What doth this tree teach us?
There are many men who grow in the garden of God. Outside they appear strong and fair, as does this tree. But within they are rotten and empty. With their mouths they speak great things of God, but with their hands they do nothing. Their leaves are as fair as those of this false tree. But, like it, their hearts are fit for nothing but to be kindling for the devil's tinderbox.
So, when they were come again into the house, because supper was still not ready, Christiana again desired that the interpreter would either show or tell of some other things that were profitable. To which he answered,
I will begin a sentence, and you finish it, if you can.
To this they all agreed, and thus he began.
The fatter the sow is...
The more she loves to roll in the mire.
Good. The fatter the ox is...
The more gamesomely he goes to the slaughter.
The more healthy the lusty man is...
The more likely he is to get into trouble.
Well thought out, Samuel. As a woman doth by nature love to be dressed neat and fine,
so doth a Christian by nature love to adorn himself with a meek and quiet spirit.
Aye, which thing is in the sight of God of great price. Try this one. As it is easier for a watchman to be on guard for a night or two than to sit up for a whole year,
So 'tis easier to set out on the pilgrim's journey than to reach its desired end.
Well said, Mercy. Try this. Every shipmaster, when his vessel be caught in a great storm, will begin to throw over his cargo. But he beginneth with those things greatest of weight and least of value. So in the storm of life...
We should throw over those sins that do so easily beset us and weigh us down.
Aye. And upon the great seas, one leak will...
Sink the ship.
And in life, one sin will...
Sink the sinner.
He that forgets the kindness of a friend delivers a wound to his heart, but he that forgets his Savior...
Doth also wound his own.
There was once a foolish man that sowed cockle and thistles in his field, and yet expected to fill his barn with wheat and barley. We called such a man...
A fool.
And the man who sows to the flesh and hopes to reap of the Spirit is...
A big fool.
Aye. As a man soweth, so shall he reap. Therefore, boys, in youth sow such seeds only as thou wilt be glad to harvest.
Master?
Yes, Innocent?
Supper is ready to be served.
Good. Let us indulge ourselves in a few more riddles whilst they set the table. Tell me, if men value the things of this world which God seeth as little, how should men think of heavenly things which God doth see to be of great value?
He should treasure them with all his heart.
This life is attended with much trouble. And yet, with what fierceness do men cling to it? How much more then? Christiana?
How much more then should we grasp hold of the reality of heaven and never let go?
You're right. On earth, we seldom take dinner, but that we be filled therewith and leave some morsels uneaten. So is it, when we eat of Jesus Christ, the bread of heaven, we eat our fill and share freely with others, only to find that there is...
always more!
Aye, always more.
Ready, Master.
Good, good. Let us offer up thanks and praises to our heavenly friend. For whosoever praiseth glorifieth God, and God doth indeed inhabit the praises of his people.
So the interpreter did return thanks. And then, as was his custom, he did offer up a short song of praise to God.
The Lord is my only support, and he that doth me feed. How can I then want anything whereof I stand in need? The Lord doth show me the way to dwell in heaven above. For this we ask him, stay and fill our hearts with love.
Good, Mr. Interpreter.
Very nice.